saying, unfortunately, Leah Eisenstein was not able to get travel approved to come. And she is a phenomenal individual and data manager, and there is no way that I will do this presentation justice. Her contact information is at the end, and she's also very eager, and there are a lot of slides, so I'm going to have to skip some based on time. But I think and I hope what you can do is revisit the presentation, since it will be posted online, if you have additional questions. You know, when I think about the Zika response in Florida, my role within the state is overseeing the surveillance system for the state of Florida. We are a distributed state. We are very large. We have around 1,500 users of our disease surveillance system and 67 different county health departments, which means people do different things and things that you don't anticipate. And so there are additional challenges, I think, of meeting many needs with one individual system. We are lucky that everyone does utilize our single system, because that helps us be able to aggregate things. But you can imagine, and you heard from Miami-Dade at the start of this, that they had very specific needs that was very different from smaller county health departments. The other thing that I'll say from a systems perspective is that emergency situations are inherently stressful. From a systems perspective, I do feel like you can accomplish things in a short amount of time because you can get a lot of focus and energy to solve problems that in other times would you just would not have the attention and the resources to get things done in the way that you would like. The additional pressures from a data management perspective is there's often a great deal of political pressure, which changes things that need to be turned around and may not necessarily be the things that you as an epidemiologist were always anticipating. And time is your biggest enemy. So if you, I'm not sure how well you can see the total results on this slide, but I think really what I want you to take away here is that there it was a huge volume of data that needed to be managed. So, you know, we had over or around 1,500 cases that actually met the case definition, but that was really kind of the small piece of the amount of data. If you look at the number of laboratory results that we received, I mean, we had over 82,000 individual laboratory results. The number of individuals that were tested by the state public health laboratory was close to 14,000. We also had laboratory results that we received on paper that required manual data entry. And we were managing people, which I will talk about, prior to them really becoming cases. So if you think about sort of your overall flow here, and your case management, I would say most of the time we are kind of starting at this first box here where a case is going into the system when we have a lab result or a physician report. And then that sort of generates the additional action and activity, starting the record in the system, the county health department evaluating the cases, et cetera, and finally getting reported to CDC. So during the response situation, it's this yellow flow that we have to spend a lot more time on. So there's a suspected infection. They contact the county health department. Does the county health department actually recommend testing or not? If there's no testing that's recommended, essentially we weren't creating records for those and no specimen was collected. But if testing was recommended and a specimen was collected, then we were starting the records in the surveillance application here prior to the laboratory result. And then when the laboratory result was coming in, and there's not actually an arrow here, but then we were automatically matching this laboratory result up back with the record that was started in the surveillance application, and then sort of moving on with the flow. And I guess from this perspective, it's this yellow piece that we really needed to manage effectively across all 67 county health departments. So we were tracking people at the time of test order rather than result. You're going to hear from Nicole about the work that we did on the Euro surveys for active case finding. We had lots of new data partners, so the pregnancy registry, the birth defects registry. There was a rapidly changing and complex case definition. We kept adding and changing the data elements that we were focused on. And we also had a lot of pressure to summarize the information very quickly. For us, we were previously hand data entering the data into ArboNet, and as you can imagine, with 1,500 cases and like the same one person, Andrea, who asked a question earlier, doing that, I mean, dear God, she does need to sleep. So these challenges, I would say, when we have a small volume of cases, which, you know, if you think about a lot of our Arbos in general, we really don't have a ton of those cases. Each individual case takes a lot of time, but there's not a lot of them. So the challenges really come in when there is a lot of data. And I think it's processes that we have during low stress times just become totally unacceptable for people. In terms of controlling the data with the volume of users that we have and people doing different things in different ways, we really needed to ensure also that we knew exactly when a case was going to be released to the public. And that took coordination ahead of time with the local county health department, the governor's office, mosquito control. And so we had to know, because we wanted to use a surveillance application to do this, we needed some additional processes to actually like date timestamp exactly when we were calling the case so that we knew that individual case was showing up at 1 o'clock and the governor's office was going to be aware, as well as all of these existing partners. So we had to institute a sort of case called logic into the normal surveillance application, which is different than just does it meet the case definition, yes or no. And then because of the sensitivities around Zika, no one wants to actually call a case incorrectly. So we needed a lot of very resource-intensive management of individual data elements on those cases. So let me just say, in terms of our system strengths, we have an integrated outbreak module. We have something called smart case definitions, and we're going to look at that. We have a lot of automation around our lab processing, dynamic data collection screens where we can update things whenever we want, and production of some summary reports. But I think a lot of our summary reports are based on sort of everything that's always in the system, rather than what changed from the day before. And so we needed to enhance a lot of the date time stamps on individual field variables so that we could actually compare what happened yesterday to what happened today, not just the cumulative information that was in there. We also ran into interoperability challenges with the state lab system. So we very much wanted to avoid duplicating data entry. So if we were working on the Euro surveys, we didn't want to have to re-enter that information to handle laboratory data and information, nor did we want to have to re-enter anything to be able to send things on to CDC. So one of the things that we have within our surveillance system is what we call smart case definitions. And really, if you think about CSTE position statements, and there's those dreaded like table 6B, what we do is take that information and actually put within the system these individual logic elements, and each thing then turns into different criteria. So for Zika, there's a total, we had about 21 different scenarios of if it had this information from this information, it would set it to confirmed or probable or suspect. And the reason why we really needed to do this is because if you're trying to review all of these individual cases at once, it's amazing how many mistakes people can actually make in applying those surveillance case definitions. So we're actually taking the individual data that gets entered into the system, creating that logic criteria, and then using the logic for the system to automatically sort of call the case as confirmed, probable, or suspect. The other thing that we did for locally acquired cases is that we had, you know, some like additional criteria before we would call it as local, so it could still meet the surveillance case definition, but like it had to have confirmation at the state lab. It had to have some additional items before we could actually acceptably call the case, and we wanted, you know, multiple specimens that tested positive, and so we added all of that individual logic in. I think in the interest of time, what I'm going to do is move to this slide, which is, if you see the yellow pathway here, we moved as much as possible towards automation. So from receiving the electronic laboratory result, previously that would kind of go on a task list, and then an epidemiologist needs to review that list and then start acting upon it. And so what we really worked to do was ensure that the result comes in, the system acts upon it and creates the case. As additional laboratory results come in, those are automatically getting attached to the case and updating the case definition as soon as those come in and get attached. And then in some scenarios, and I will say not with Zika, but you know, the case will automatically just get reported and generated and sent on to CDC. We did have this additional logic here that the case could, quote unquote, get reported, but we weren't going to release it yet until we had sort of that official time stamp at the state health office. So now I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about another challenge that we had. So we already had a lot of great flexibility in terms of adding and removing questions and creating different kinds of surveys, and all of that can, you know, be done instantaneously. But we had a situation where with these people that we were called persons under investigation, so at the time of order, we were putting those individuals into the system. And so we sort of built a survey on top of the basic data collection screen that would really focus people on the key pieces of information that we felt like needed to go into the system at the very beginning. And then, as I mentioned, we had these additional access controls around when we were going to actually release cases to the public. So this is kind of what I'm talking about this person under investigation survey. So within our surveillance application, we have, be it right or wrong, whether you have one long screen or what we have is different tabs in the system that you navigate to. So if you want to put symptoms in or EpiLink cases or travel history, you navigate to different locations in the system. And I'm going to say this is kind of like every aisle in the grocery store. And it's not a big deal when you have time to go in and say, okay, I'm starting my case, but I'm starting my record in the system, and I'm just only going to answer question 5, 7, 10, and 20, and then I'm going to leave. But in this scenario where we were under such time pressure and with so many different users, you know, then you have to remember, okay, it's question 5, 10, 15, and 99, which is in another location within the system that I needed to answer. So we built this sort of survey on top of the system, kind of like if you went into the grocery store and you just went to sort of the BOGO aisle that had everything that you needed. You know, it had your chips, your salsa, your drinks, and it was all right there for you. And so you could just go in. You knew those were the 5 or 10 things that the state health office really needed to know. And so that survey kind of got built on top, and you didn't have to wander down the aisles of the grocery store to answer the different questions. And then as you could always navigate to that longer full screen at the county health department level, but this really focused people in on their individual data and information that we wanted. And then, of course, that information was just a display, and so as soon as you went to kind of the long form, those data elements actually trickled down, quote-unquote, onto the individual screen. The other piece that I'm going to talk about now is all of these different data summaries that we needed to produce in a short amount of time. So we have a lot of data quality checks within the system itself, but we had to do a lot with SAS to be able to tell which different things were updated at different points in time. So we wanted to know if someone, one of those 1,500 users, had changed someone's information in the system from pregnant to not pregnant. So we were comparing that individual information. Which of the cases didn't have PRNT results for Zika but had them for dengue? And so we ran all of those individual things within the system. Here's a report. You're welcome to actually look at the kinds of things that people were interested in. And these reports changed all the time. The other big thing that we did was, I feel like during outbreaks, people want this magic button for a spreadsheet of exactly how they want to see the data. So, you know, one case investigator wants to see the data exactly this way, and another one wants to see it this way. And so what tends to happen is then people start creating all their own little spreadsheets, and sometimes the data doesn't get back into the surveillance application. So we sort of developed the magic button for people. And so essentially people could run this individually off their desktop, and they could just go in and sort of hit this refresh all once they installed this new link on the system, and they could get their spreadsheet, and they could refresh their spreadsheet directly from the surveillance application right on their desktop at any point in time. And we did do a lot of sort of disease investigator specific modifications so that they could do this. The last thing that I'm going to mention is where we're going. So this idea that the specimen is submitted to the state public health lab, it gets entered into the LIMS system, the lab performs the testing, and then that's when we're getting that information. We want to actually be able to see this information as soon as it goes into the state lab system and then kind of create this case within Merlin. So this is where we're working to link these individual things now. And then we can see, you know, where the specimen is in the process. So that's where we are now, building the interoperability between our state lab system. And I'm going to stop there.